Okay, hope everybody had a really wonderful day. And just to introduce the last two Mishnayos of the first Perek, continuing on to this Ein Bein section, these distinctions that are material but relatively limited. So just a very brief history of the Jewish people's experience with the Mishkan prior to building the Beis HaMikdash, which took place exactly 480 years after the Jewish people left Egypt. So the first 14 years, when the Jewish people were conquering and settling the land of Israel, the Mishkan was in Gilgal, which is just after you cross the Yarden. The next 369 years, it was in Shiloh. During the entire period in Shiloh, there was what we call an Isser Bamos. There was no permission structure for people to have private altars, right? This is something which is very far from our consciousness, as I'll explain in just a moment, but it's a very, very major subject in Tanakh, right, that there were Bamos, during times when there weren't supposed to be. So the 14 years of Gilgal, again, those are the preliminary period, the 369 years of Shiloh, which was referred to as the Menucha, the period when we came to rest, not the final rest, but a period of rest where there's no private altars altogether. Then there was a 57-year interregnum when the Mizbeach was moved to Nov and Givon after the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh, which remembers the opening story in Sefer Shmuel with Eli HaKohen, who dies and Aaron is taken and the Mishkan Shiloh is destroyed and his sons Hophni and Pinchas are killed. During that 57-year period, there was a Heter HaBamos, there was a permission structure to have private altars, but we'll see. Obviously not for Korbanos HaTzibor. You can't bring like the Korban Tamid in your backyard and say the Korban Tamid is sponsored by the Cohen family, whatever, you know, it'd be offered in their backyard, right? That wouldn't add up. So Tzmidim Musafin, the Korban Pesach and the like, we'll see that those things are not to be offered in private altars. And then, of course, we came to the Beis HaMikdash. Kilovate Maratala Menucha Vilanachala. And that was what was unique about Yerushalayim. Once we came to Yerushalayim, there was an Isser Bamos. Now, this was honored in the breach for most of Jewish history. People had a very hard time letting go of their private altars. This was something that people really struggled with. And even during the period of the most righteous of all of the Jewish kings, we find again and again in Tanakh, Rak HaBamos Lo Saru, is impossible to get the Jewish people, to give up the Bamos. So again, and people say we've made no progress. You know, we've made progress on this issue. It hasn't come up once since I've been in this shul. You know, I haven't had this dispute with anybody about getting rid of their Bama. But it was a hard thing to do back in the day. So Mishnah Yud says, Ein Bein Bama Gedolah LeBama Ketana LePsachim. Anything which is just a personal offering, a person says, Hare Alai, I have a personal obligation to bring a Korban Ola, Korban Shlamim, that can be done in my backyard altar, or Hare Zeh, right, when we talked about Nedavos last week. So you say this particular animal is going to be a Korban, that can be brought in a private setting. V'chol sheno lo nidar v'lo nidav, Eino karev babama, things which are tmidim musafim, or as we call chovos hakavuos lahem zman, that of a particular time, they have to be brought in more of a communal setting. Now there are things which aren't brought together all together until you come to a place like Shiloh or Yerushalayim, where chovos she'inan kavuos lahem zman, things like the par hilim davar shel tzibor, the par kohen mashiach. These are obviously not personal korbanos, but they actually require something more substantive than even Nov or Givon had to offer. Now, this is true in general, but we could go a little bit further as it concerns the Korban Pesach. Pasuk says, "Lusucha lechol asa Pesach be'achad sherecha asher Hashem elokecha nosin lach." So there's a one particular view amongst the Tanaim. Lusucha lizboach asa Pesach be'achad sherecha be'achad biyachid. That it shouldn't be done privately, right? That the Pesach always requires a chabura. So part of the idea of singling out the Korban Pesach, even though it really is a stand-in here for Tmidim and Musafin, is because the Korban Pesach of all of the Korbanos has the most, you know, communal nature to it. It's the way Kahal Adas Yisrael. It's the way that the Jewish people actually entered into the covenant in the first place, right? That's why the Mechilta says that really as a part of every converts giur, they should have to bring a Korban Pesach. So the idea that we don't want it to be, you know, just in everybody's backyard, but at a central site is so elementary. It's so basic to our understanding of what the Korban Pesach is all about. So the parak concludes, Ein Bein Shiloh LYerushalayim. Remember, Shiloh was 369 years. And just to give you a comparison, the Beis HaMikdash only stood for 410 years. You know, so Shiloh was a very significant period in Jewish history. You remember that beautiful Rashi in Bereishis when it says that Yosef and Binyamin met, and Vayevkal Tzavarei Binyamin Achivu Binyamin Bachal Tzavarav, that Binyamin was crying for the Mishkan Shiloh, which was destroyed, and Yosef was crying for the two Batei Mikdash that were in the Chelek of Binyamin. There's a parallel there. So, Ein Ben Shiloh L'Yerushalayim, Elah Shebashiloh, Ochem Kachem Kalum, Maiser Sheni B'chol Aroa, L'Yerushalayim Lifnim Min Achoma, right? The ancient city of Yerushalayim, the walls, that was the outer boundary of where you could eat Kachem Kalum, things like Shlamim, Karban Tod, etc. When it came to Shiloh, there were no walls. Shiloh wasn't a walled city, so it was B'chol Haroa. If you've been to that section of Eretz Yisrael, actually I have cousins that live across the street from where they think ancient Shiloh was, in Shvut Rachel. So there are a lot of hills there. So it's not like you could see that far, but that's enough of a chibur if you could see it. What's really fascinating, Rabbi Ganak pointed this out to me when I was learning Yerodeh and Ashir many years ago, that when they did digging around Shiloh, they found remnants of the kalim in which Kadshim would have been it. Kli Cheres, for example, has there's no way to be Metayer it. So if you would cook Kadshim in a Kli Cheres, you could never use it again for chol purposes because it absorbed Kadshim. So B'chol Haroa, literally within a line of sight, you could find all of these shards of pottery that people ate. So there's evidence of this halacha of B'chol Haroa. It's a very fascinating idea that you're considered to be mechubar, you're considered to be attached to Shiloh, not by walls which encompass you like in Yerushalayim, but by simply having, you know, eyesight, by being, you know, within that connection. We find this in a couple areas of halacha. One of them which has been on my mind is Megillah. When it was going back over this Mishnah, obviously Megillah was on my mind, right? So we say that it's not just the krach that reads on the 15th, but chol hanira, right? Anything where you could see the krach from that location could be included for those purposes in the walled city. Very fascinating idea. So you have this concept of b'chol haroa. Yerushalayim lifnei min achoma, kan v'kan katshe kadashim ne'achalim lifnei min aklaim, kedusha shilo yesha acharei hater, as we explained before, once the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed in days of Eli, so there was a 57-year intervening period of hater, where there was a possibility of hater abamos, basically for private korbanos, not for public korbanos, or things like a korban pesach, chovos hakvuos lehemzman, ukedushas Yerushalayim ein acharei hater. Once we came to Yerushalayim, there's no more private altars. The one exception in Jewish history was Eliyahu Behar HaKarmel offered a korban outside of Yerushalayim. That's a famous example of a Hora HaShah. When Eliyahu, we read it as the Haftorah, you know, and the Nevi'ei Habal are going at it back and forth, you know, in terms of, making sure that the Jewish people got back on board, with monotheism against Avodah Zarah. That was a Hora HaShah, Eis Lasos Hashem B'Fir Yisar Zachah. Otherwise, there are no korbanos that can be brought outside of Yerushalayim. That is the Nachla. That was the final resting point. And remember, even once the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, the Rambam tells us that even though the Kedusha Rishona is Betela, the rest of the Kedusha of Israel no longer existed until Ezra came back, the Kedusha of Yerushalayim was forever. Because Kedushas Yerushalayim is the Kedusha of the Shechina. And the Rambam writes so beautifully, Kedushas HaShechina Eina Betela Li'olam. The sanctity that's created by the Divine Presence can never be nullified by a foreign conquest, and therefore Yerushalayim always retained its sanctity. Rabbi Hanani ben Akiva.